Hello and welcome to the Fire Up Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Trapin. It's one of my favorite hours of the week. It's time to spill the tea. This show started out as a mini-series in March of 2020. It was a way of gathering our divine sisterhood together during the pandemic, and it's still going strong. If you're new here, welcome. Nearly every week, Molly McKinley and I get together to sip tea, do some breath work, recite affirmations, lead meditation moments, and have a conversation about what we're reading, seeing, or doing, all with a focus on keeping a balance of divine feminine and masculine energies at our table. Most of the time, it's the two of us. Sometimes we have a fellow soul-centered author or entrepreneur join us. Take a moment now to pour your favorite beverage, pop in your earbuds, and snuggle into your coziest spot, or head outdoors for a walk if you prefer. And then get ready to listen in on this hour of togetherness. Hello, world. It's Tuesday. Although it's not our typical Tuesday, it's like a Tuesday.
It's a legit Tuesday.
There are so many twos. There are six twos today. Yes. Six twos and two aughts. Unbelievable. I love all the numbers today. And it's a special time that we're coming to you today, to you today at 2:22 p.m. Eastern time. Why, you ask? Why are you two here early? Well, it's Molly's digital book launch day.
Yes. And two is my lucky number for, we've been talking about this for a long time, but you know, ever since I can remember, two was always the number, and two twos are, you know, better than one, two. I don't know.
Multiply life by the power of two.
That's it.
To quote the Indigo Girls.
Which is my favorite, all-time favorite.
I know, me too. That's the alarm for Spill the Tea for me. Okay. So we fangirled, we two fangirled all the way around. For those of you who are watching us live, you are going to hear the goddess presence of Dharma Richards today. Yes. We will introduce her a little bit, but you'll likely see her photo pop in and out. We're very excited. We're having a mini party. Again, it's the digital book launch. You know, of course, everything going on with the COVID, that crazy plague, stopping things from moving as fast as we'd like. But you know what? That does not stop us. We are goddesses of action. And this is a special day for Molly. So we are celebrating. Before we get into the conversation, Molly, do you have a twos inspired breath for us today?
Oh gosh, a two inspired breath. You know, the funny thing is I've been thinking about the book, so I didn't prepare my breath, but I think we should do our three part breath actually, because it's the intersection of, that, you know, sacred yoni with the Vesak Pisces. I have this knowledge because Dharma Richards, who is going to be, she's here with us, is, you know, she really is my teacher and is the one who opened the door for me into a world of a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't even know existed. So let's just find our root in our seat. Lengthen the spine. Feel the air entering and leaving the nose. Connecting body, mind, and spirit. Big, complete breath in. I am fully human. And let it go out the mouth. Big breath, completely in. I am fully divine. Big breath, completely in. Anthropo, that unity of being both fully human and fully divine. And exhale, releasing and letting it go. Beautiful.
Tiger roar, a lion roar, a dragon's breath.
I love it. Well, funny out, story, sisters. You know, is, and this is Dharma for you, is I remember the first time I saw you wearing the Vesica Pisces around your neck and you told the story about it, was that symbol. Again, remember the symbol of the Vesica Pisces is, you know, the two circles intersecting with that sacred intersection in the middle, the yoni. Do you want to share about that?
Yes, I was first introduced to that on my first trip to Avalon, i.e. Glastonbury. Mm-hmm. And I've been wearing that symbol for many, many years now. You know, it's so chock full of symbolism, just the two circles intertwined and the middle piece being the yoni and that goddess fervor. So, you know, growing up in the South and with my Christian lineage and background and being able to put those together, the yin and the yang, the male and the female, the Shakti, so all of that, tied within that one symbol. And it's interesting, Molly, because you were, you know, you're talking about how all of this kind of intertwines with business and how you have grown yours. You know, I see also those circles and that sacred geometry. I went to business school and we would do these charts that had those two circles together. And so it's sacred geometry within business and however, you know, you can bring those symbols in and whatever your rituals, your prayers, all of that intertwined with business. And yes, just to kind of go back to your question, the Vesica Pisces is emblazoned in that third eye.
That's it. And a little bit of context here. So Dharma and I met, oh my gosh. I mean, it's been, how long have I studied with you now? It's been a long time.
I think at least 15 years we've known each other.
Yeah, at least
as sister Scorpios to boot.
Yes, exactly.
Oh Lord. Aaliyah yes. Surrounded by Scorpios. Somebody save me.
Drop the mic. Yes.
Our birthdays are right after each other. And it was one of those things where I had taken one yoga class before years, you know, in my 20s, and it just didn't connect. And then I remember taking Dharma's first class. And it was at a gym, it was at a Lifetime Fitness. And I was hooked. I mean, I was absolutely like, I'm like, I don't know what's happening here, but this is exactly what my body needs. And, that's sort of how we met. And then very soon after, Dharma opened her own studio, the Yoga Garden. And, it was just exactly, it was like, I was like a moth to light, just wanted to know more and more, and really understand and learn, what you had to share.
Yeah. And that relationship is always two way, right? It's the student teacher. It's not just the teacher. I tell people all the time, I learn just as much, if not more from students than they could ever learn from me. So thank you for being the other half of that equation.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And to the point to this, the book, you know, it's, you know, so I did my 200-hour training with Dharma, and then I did the 500-hour training with Dharma, yoga training. And throughout that entire experience, you know, I just kept feeling and thinking that this language, the synergy between this yoga and the yoga principles of Patanjali's sutras, as it related to business, that connection was so, so deep. Like you said, as a business school, like we work in charts, it's sacred geometry. They're like those lines, those parallels were so obvious. I couldn't disconnect the teachings with my entrepreneurial, because I think that's part of my life path, right? Is to be an entrepreneur. So this layering of the spirituality with the entrepreneurialism was something that I couldn't unsee. And it really is sort of the inspiration behind the book, which is one of the reasons why, you know, having you here today is so important and meaningful to me, is because you really were the spark that was making those connections in my life story. And I think probably because we both have that business background, you know, it's almost like a shared language between us.
Right. And it is, it's rare. It's rare. And just how you were holding your hands together just now in that weave, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Mm.
For those of you who missed it, I didn't even realize I was doing it, but that's Dharma as her yoga teacher, you know, noticing all of the, you know, the body and how the body, again, I mean, because what we're talking about here is alignment of body, mind, and spirit. You know, this is the path forward, or a path forward. I shouldn't say the path forward. A path forward is understanding that connection and aligning our thoughts, words, and actions. And to me, that is the very essence of being soul-led, and is the heart of what an intentional business is all about.
I love that. Well, you know what comes to mind when I'm listening to the two of you talk, and when we embrace the fully human, fully divine, and we explore these paths that, you know, light our soul on fire, like you, that you're saying, like, my body was just like, I knew I needed more of this.
Yes.
Is that it wakes something up in us, right? Like it wakes up that reticular activating system inside our brains that helps us see more of what we need to support us on that journey. Yes. The Vesica Pisces is the perfect example of that as well. Because if you sip tea like we do, and you put your teacup down and then you pick it up and you put it down again, how many times have you seen the Vesica Pisces in the tea stain? It's that divine geometry is everywhere. And once you learn it, once you see it, you start to see it everywhere. And it brings that vibration back in to, you know, something as mundane as sitting in bed and waking up and looking over at your nightstand going, oh, there she is.
Oh yeah. I love that.
There's a divine.
Stain. Yeah. Divine tea stains.
Oh, it's so good. Well, even like, you know, so yesterday, you know, I was traveling home from Florida because Will had his hockey tournament, and everywhere we went, it was all over the place everywhere, you know. And then, you know, last night I couldn't sleep, you know, so at 2 a.m., of course I'm, you know, doing a meditation and, you know, it's just the same thing, like you're saying, with signs and symbols, but also with numerology and numbers. And so it's part of the reason why we're doing this at 2:22 on 2/22/22, right? Is we're aligning ourselves with the vibration of things that we want to be aligned with. And again, it's intentional. It's not happenstance. We're not just winging that part of it. But have specifically chosen it so that we can align with that, with the vibration of even that, the numbers. Mm-hmm. And I'm not super into numerology typically, but when it comes to
you're into it, you're just not a master of it.
Yeah, for sure, right?
We love to count our apple seeds. Now, come on.
Yeah, we do love to count our apple seeds. That is so funny. Darren, like, do you have anything to share about that? I feel like, are you into numerology? I don't know if we've ever really.
Just enough to be dangerous, right? So
yeah, me too. Yeah.
I have kind of my own foray in there. Kundalini numerology is one. It's a little more simplified than some of the other views of it. But no, as you were talking two, and we're talking the Vesic Pisces, I invite you to look up the seat of life, that sacred geometry. It is the Vesic Pisces over and over and over again. And I was, there it is there. You don't even have to look it up. It's on Molly.
Yes. I have that as a tattoo.
Yes. And so I was just kind of seeing those. I love those, the imagery of the teacup and the coffee cup and seeing those stains. So I don't get angry at, you know, the rings that happen on my coffee table because I like seeing those there. So I appreciate that picture being painted, Deborah. That was beautiful.
Well, I think that's another example, right? Like we could get frustrated that our furniture now has a ring on it, or we can see it as a divine reminder. I mean, it's all perspective, right, ladies? It's perspective. And when we can come from peace versus pressure in our perspective, it really lightens us. It lightens us. And that's one of the things I love about the book, Molly, is that there are, I mean, first of all, you open it up with like, I'm tired of the damn table. Like it's like we have like the flipping of the table right at the beginning, which is one of my favorite stories of Jesus, when Yeshua walked the planet and flipped the tables, right? And so I love this idea of where we start right from the beginning of, let us create something new. Let us reimagine what it could be. But I think before we dig deeper into that, this is the perfect place to talk about the unseen card.
Oh gosh. Yes. Yes. Okay. So last time we picked this, the unseen archetype card, again, to credit properly, this is Archetypes Guidebook by Kim Kranz. And I will read it to you. Okay. The unseen, the spirit, the ancestor, the eternal. The unseen is just as it sounds. We cannot see it, yet it sees us, watching and waiting with wisdom, both kind and instructive. We feel this presence, sense it, intuit it, and then doubt its existence, though it rallies our attention time and time again. The energy of the unseen may come in many forms: a compelling dream, a sudden insight, a clear voice, a vision or message from a loved one who has passed to the other side. It is natural to fear these communications as they challenge our perception of what is real. When this card appears, your guides are near. The eternal is present. The doorway between worlds is ajar. Listen. The sound may seem as though they come from a distant land, but they call from your innermost chambers. And when light, clairvoyant, guidance, whispers of wisdom, when dark, dark looming energy, unwillingness to forgive. Go deeper is King Hamlet, the three fates, the shining. Mm.
So good. I mean, I love, again, here we are, the unseen, and how most of our lives we've been taught to look outside of ourselves for the clarity. And yet again, we're reminded, right? They aren't from distant lands, but they're, the call is from your innermost chambers. Innermost chambers. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, really that language.
Mm. Well, and, you know, one of the seeing with the eye of the heart, right? That's the Megan Watterson language. I remember, Dharma, the first time we ever did that meditation where we dipped into, you know, we had our focus energy on the space between the brow, and then we slowly dipped into the chamber of the heart where the soul resides. And the first time ever doing that, was like, I couldn't access it. It was like, I just felt like there was a block. Like I couldn't get into like, almost like a spiral, or like I felt like I was entering, you know, sort of the swirl of a shell. If like, you know what I'm talking about? Like the horn of the shell, like I just couldn't quite get in there. And then when I finally, did, you know, like the sort of this, I don't know, like the hum, it's hard to describe. There's not really quite words, but I remember that moment very, very clearly. We were at the garden.
That's the seed. That's the seed mantra, right? The vibration of God or Om or the divine, however you label it. But it takes practice, right? It takes going down that spiral from time and time again. And the more, there is certainly a lot of unseen, but you start to see more the more you practice. So the unseen becomes less and less, and you begin to see with the big S. And it's that veil, stepping through the veil, being comfortable and secure enough and confident enough to step through that veil into the unseen. Deborah, just like you were mentioning, you know, whether it's darker, or actually, I don't remember if it was Deborah or Molly that was talking about it being sometimes dark, and, having the confidence and the willpower to step through that veil into the unseen, be in it, and be able to move forward and through.
Yeah. Be in it and not of it, right? The witness.
That's beautiful. I love that. Well, and Dharma, I'm not sure if you've seen this archetype guidebook. If not, it's so delicious. The design is,
it is really
delicious. And Kim uses all of the margins. Oops, on this side. She puts little love notes, and I love it. And I always tend to read this one here on the far right side. And it is, guidance comes in many forms. Don't expect it to be glittery or comfortable. The spirit world speaks the truth. Sometimes it soothes and sometimes it burns.
And I love those beautiful, and I have not seen that when Molly was showing it to me beforehand. Mm-hmm. I have not seen that. What I would love to see is in those beautiful books that accompany those cards, mm-hmm. is your own writing and your own observations and doodling and in those margins with your own words and making that a nice little mm-hmm. Devotional book of your own.
Oh, I love that. I love it
too. Oh, Beth, maybe we'll add some pages to the guidebook for the affirmations.
Yes. She's like, uh-oh, the ladies are talking again.
I know. Well, Beth is working on, Beth, who is not here with us, we just do need to shout her out for this book too, yes. before we move to Shekinah, because yes. she actually, you know, in the very first pages, I dedicate this book obviously to my family, but I dedicate to you, Deborah, for being such a source of connection, for me, Dharma to you for truly being, you were the one who led me on the path. So incredibly grateful that, we found each other again in this lifetime. And for Beth, who is our designer, who always is more than a designer, really, she's a manifester because she's always the first to say yes. You know, where it's like, I've got this idea. And she's like, I'm in, you know? So between us, you know,
that's awesome. She knows that it'll be a holy yes, Molly.
Yes. But you know what? We have each other in our lives, right? Inspiration, support, guidance, right? Because by design, you know, this is not, I remember the first time I ever heard these words from you, Dharma, it rang true when you said, when we were sitting in our circle in our yoga teacher training, our 200 hour, you said, it is no surprise that we're all here together and we've likely been here many times before. And when you said that, like the shiver up and down the spine, and I knew that was truth. So again,
and not just in those circles, but other circles as well. Right.
That's it. Right. And likely again, you know, so after we learn what we need to hear, I'm sure we'll show up again, in each other's circles. So, you know, there's just something so beautiful about that. And, just like truly incredibly grateful, like in my bones. So just mm-hmm. want to make sure that there's no one that goes, those words are spoken, if you will.
That's beautiful. In my mind, when I was imagining you sitting in your circle together, I had this image of creating human Vesica Pisces circles.
Oh.
And what that would feel like the, you know, the rotation of the person who's kind of sitting in that overlay and like looking in someone else's eyes. And like, I want to try that. Let's try it next time we're together. Cause something is just like, ooh, that would be very interesting. Mm.
Interesting. Mm-mm. Mm. I love that.
No more mush pot, right? was also what it was called, right?
I don't know. The mush pot. I don't know what a mush pot is.
When somebody was in the middle of the circle, I think that was like duck, duck, goose. Anyways, maybe that was just a West Coast thing.
Yeah, I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying, but I
duck, duck, goose. You didn't play duck, duck, goose?
Oh, we played duck, duck, goose. Yes, but yes, but mush pot. I've never heard that word before. Mush pot.
Love it. It must be original thing. Anyways, we digress. Okay, so last week we also pulled Shekinah. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on now. This look into this beauty's presence eyes.
Presence of the divine feminine.
Oh, presence of the divine feminine. So who is Shekinah? The Shekinah represents the omnipresence and immanence of the divine feminine. The word Shekinah in Hebrew means to settle, to inhabit, or to dwell. It represents an experience of the divine presence right here in the body and in the world. In Kabbalism, mystical Judaism, the Shekinah is the feminine aspect of God, and she's depicted as a piercing, radiant light. She is the experience of the presence of God within us as the soul of God. To the Kabbalists, honoring the feminine is of the utmost importance. Mm-hmm. This is why the red thread of protection is worn on the left wrist, which is the receiving feminine side of the body. In Kabbalistic teachings, the Shekinah is represented in the tree of life as the pillar of balance. She's the force that unites the opposites. She brings heaven to earth, and she unites the body and soul. Because of her, there can be a direct path of communion between humanity and divinity. Ooh, there's a little mudra popping in my head. Because of her, we can experience God right here in this moment, right here in this body. When her soul selects her, in the Zohar, the main sacred test in Kabbal, the Shekinah is described as being a world within the world, as bright a radiance at the center of everything. All life on earth, all consciousness is a part of her light and therefore sacred. The metaphysical theory of immanence is that the divine presence is manifested in the material world. So there isn't actually any matter, whether organic or inorganic, that isn't also part of the divine. The Shekinah is light that inhabits your body, your cells, and is in the cells of all the people and objects you see around you. She is also about pure experience. She is the message, the truth that there is a light at the center of everything that happens to us, both the good and the bad. And I'm using air quotes for those of you on the podcast. Yeah. And the Shekinah is the reminder that we are not just this body or this pain we might be going through or this confusing moment in our brief life. We are light. We are molecules of heaven in human form. And right now, we can know this. We can experience the light we are, and that can be enough. That can be the miracle and the answer we actually need, not words or meaning, but simply, and more profoundly, pure, radiant being. The soul voice meditation that comes to us today is, enter the heart and repeat this mantra, I am light. Then, see what images or words arise. And the Shekinah intention is, at the center of everything, there is light. And I am that light.
Mm. I love that. Dharma, do you want to weigh in on Shekinah? I know that you, I'm sure you have thoughts and opinions.
I do. And I love that the last word there was light, because that is Shekinah. And, I see, especially with these ancient goddesses, and Shekinah goes way, way back, right? She's really cosmic. She's the cosmic Shekinah, mm-hmm. and light and wisdom. She's also known as a very deep goddess of wisdom that embodies goddesses after her, such as Inanna, the Egyptian Maat, Isis, right? So all of those are in kind of that same line with Shekinah, who is the ancient of the ancients. Mm. But I also see her, as far as wisdom, I'm a big proponent of the Gnostic text. And I also see her as Gnostic Sophia. So Gnostic meaning gnosis or knowledge, and Sophia, right? The goddess, the mother, wisdom. So gnosis, knowledge, and wisdom are all embodied in Shekinah. And even though, we may not have a true relationship with her right off, she does have a lot of history in, like you said, the traditional Kabbalah, but also the mystical Kabbalah with the Q of the more occult type studies. And, I just see her again with her, the cosmic Shekinah, the Gnostic Sophia, which also embodied within Mother Mary, the Magdalene, mm-hmm. all of those and of that lineage. And if you track it down, trace it down, we are the current ones. Mm. We are all descendants from that lineage. So thank Amen. You, Deborah, for sharing that light of Shekinah. And I love that that's come at this time of year where the light tide is growing.
Mm, that's Amen. It. It just feels like, you know, we just hit in bulk, right? So that's the promise that every day, you know, the light is growing inside. It's the Candlemas, the Catholic tradition of, you know, for me, my goddess Bridget, the eternal flame, is something when I'm hearing you talk, Dharma, like I am getting the visual of that eternal flame inside the heart center, right? That is the image, that connects, you know, to those words. But I, what you said is something that I really want to make sure that everybody hears and understands, is because we often try to find ourselves, ourselves in these connections, right? But we actually are the presence of all of the lineage, right? It's like, we're the living, you know, the living Marys, if you will. And I don't know if that's the right language, but it is
sounds empowering. Right to me.
Light bearers, bearers light of light. Yeah.
Yes, right. And that's our role to play, right? To wake up to that knowledge. And I think that's the beauty of the card, the unseen, right? Is that what is hidden is not no longer hidden. You know, that it exists. It just doesn't necessarily exist within the two seeing eyes as much as it does with the triad of the seeing and the unseeing eyes, right? The third eye. So I don't know. That's just,
I'm getting shivers. I'm remembering this moment when I was a wee lassie in church. So Dharma, I grew up in the Lutheran, religion. So Christian, it's like Catholic light. I don't know if you're familiar with the Lutheran denomination, but I remember being little and being so disappointed when I heard that the Holy Spirit was a man.
Mm. I am familiar with Lutheran and I see that.
I mean, I had a knowing that the Holy Spirit was Sophia. The Holy Spirit was wisdom and light and the feminine part of God. But that I remember just being so devastated when they said, gentlemen, I can feel that I'm reconnecting to this little teeny version of me and how that maybe that was even the trigger of my soul going, this is not fit.
Right.
This and does not
the
fit.
That's the hidden piece of it, right? Yes, that is the exactly. Occult means hidden. That is the hidden piece. You know, if you go back to all the Marys and the Black Madonna, all of those came up through history. We had to, those had to be hidden.
Yes.
And I think the Holy Spirit for me and like maybe your little self was feeling the same, and that she's hidden in there somewhere. That's how they had to hide it for a while.
Yeah. She's well, back. And even you
she's
say,
back. Cult, yes.
She's back.
I love it.
Well, we're shining a light again. Right. And we're able to do that, but it's striking me even when you're talking about like the Trinity of our eyes, right. The Holy Trinity that many of us were raised with in the Christian religion, all of these things that were very masculine in energy, the light was on them, and everything that was feminine was hidden and labeled occult, which then became witchery and demonic and dark and evil. And it's so fascinating. I feel like every day there's like another layer that falls for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, there's another connection. There's another, oh, that's why I feel so unnerved when we're talking about these things. Because yes, you're right. It was hidden. It was occult and it was labeled that way. Thank you for that connecting of the dots there, Dharma. That was beautiful. Mm.
It's so good. Yeah. Well, and again, the demonizing of the feminine power Right. And again, like we talk about this again, feminine and masculine does not necessarily mean which, you know, body parts that you have. It's, we all have the feminine and masculine in us, and we are trying to balance those energies. Right. But we do live in a predominantly masculine world of will. One of the things that's really interesting to me as it relates back to business is the fact that if the feminine is the inspirit, the inspiration, right? That's the idea. And then the masculine is the will, the energy required to create, but you have to have the ideas and the will to create to be able to, you know, do business, right?
And that is so important, Molly, because we do, you know, we hear these buzzwords, the goddess, the divine feminine, but you know, the pendulum has been swung so far into the masculine, and it needs to swing back a little bit more into the feminine, but there's got to be that balance. You know, we've got to have both. We can't ignore one or the other. So that's when, you know, when we talk about divine feminine, women's circles, that is important, but we can't negate the other half of divine being, which is that balance between masculine, feminine, Shiva, Shakti, yin, yang, light, dark, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
that's it. And well, and I think like what we were just talking, I'm going to, I'm sending this to, Beth. I think Beth is going to try to join us here just, and I know we need to wrap it up, but, I do think one of the beautiful things that women may do differently, right, is that we don't discard. We understand the need for both, right? And so it really is creating a new table where it's not just one or the other, right? I think then if we do that, then we will have lost the lesson. But making sure that when we build together and we build new, that we really allow everyone to bring their whole full selves, that we create rituals, opportunity, teaching for people to understand and connect with both of themselves so that when we sit down to do business, and again, like this is that three cups of tea, that thing that, you know, the first cup of tea we meet as strangers, the second cup of tea we meet as friends, and the third cup of tea we meet as family. When we're showing up to a table as family, knowing that we are all part of the same one body creating together, and we could show up whole in our fullness, right? Both balanced in our masculine and feminine energies. Imagine what we can do, right? We can truly create solutions and businesses that are aligned with our highest and best. And to me, like that is nirvana, right? That is the aim. You know,
that's so beautiful. Well, you do weave that in the book, right? You're reminding people of that. I wonder, I mean, I'm certain most, if any, of the texts that if there anything still exists from when we flipped from a matriarchal society to a patriarchal society, I'm sure all of that's gone at this point. But I do wonder, like, how that transition went. Right. Because in the matriarchal society, as I understand it through my limited knowledge, I was not there. I'm only reading, was that when matriarchs, when women were in quote unquote power with others, everyone was equal. There was not, men were as equals to women. But when we flipped into this patriarchal society, women became less than men. And I wonder, like, how did that roll into existence? Like, what was it? Was there a war? What the heck happened where when men stepped into power that they didn't continue this idea of equality in everyone else? It's so fascinating to me. If anybody has any book recommendations, I would love to.
Do you know Dharma, or is that just cyclical?
Yeah, I don't know. And I think that's a great question. I don't know that there's any one answer, but I think that would definitely be worth exploring. But that's the difference between linear, the masculine and circular feminine, right? Where the circle, you know, there's a great book about the goddess and the history and of all of these ancient societies where they met in circle. And Deborah, like you were saying, everyone was equal. Mm-hmm. So that is the circle versus the linear path. Mm. But yeah, the question of what happened, you know, was there any one incident or I think there were probably a few that led it, you know, swung it back into that linear pattern.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, and the image that I keep seeing in my mind, and this was coming up to me in my meditation this morning too, is the image of the snake eating its tail, right? The serpent eating its tail, where the beginning creates the ending is the beginning, right? And how there is no, like when something ends, it's creating space for something new, right? And that was 1,000% the lesson or the learning of my past 2 years of the sort of my dark night of the soul, if you will, right? Was that you have to, you know, that, you know, is that endings are beginnings are endings. And I just think there's something there that is really critical to our understanding of the, of that cyclical nature of things, of the circle. But Dharma, I know so that, good. I know we're at the top of our time together and I would love, I'd be honored. So Dharma's words have inspired me for the last, you know, 15 years or so. If you would maybe just give us a little blessing for the book, maybe for those who read the words, you know, the future of business or whatever you feel inspired by, I would just
absolutely
love to hear.
Absolutely. And while we're on the topic of Shekinah and wisdom, and what I know is your book is filled with that wisdom. Let's bring her into play as we send your book off into the world. So let's close the eyes for a moment, take a few deep breaths. Dear Heavenly Father, blessed and praised are you, Shekinah, the queen of all the heavens and of all the earth, you who sanctified us by the holy words of God, and you who commanded us to light the Sabbath lights. All praise and glory only unto you. May Shekinah bless and keep us enfolded in her compassion and unconditional love for all time. Om Shekinah Om, Om Shekinah Om. Amen, Awen, Aho, and a blessed be.
Oh, I love that, Dharma. We can't wait to have you on the show another time too. For those of you who are hearing her words and want more of her, I am sure there will be many of that. We will drop her Patreon link. Where she can be found, patreon.com/DharmaRichards. We will add that into the show notes here, in the whatever you call it, the chat. And, you know, so that you can follow her. She has, courses that you can take online, at 3 different levels. And of course, did you notice those numbers, Deborah? There were 5, 11, and 22. So again, this sacred circle that we always find ourselves in with these, you know, the symbols and the numbers sort of always guiding us back to each other. So, Dharma.
Thank you so much, Molly. Thank you, Deborah.
Om, adore om, you.
Om. Om, 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 om. Thank you. Bye. Oh my goodness. So let's talk a little bit more about the book.
Yes. Well, first of all, I mean, it is seriously like, you know, such an honor to have Dharma, you know, like she's been a beloved to me, like just not a teacher, not just a teacher, but like a sister for years. And, you know, just to be able to, share some of her beauty with everybody. And again, you know, she wasn't able to be on camera because, you know, of where she's at right now, but the, just even like truly embodying the goddess energy, you know.
I love it. Yes, I love it. It was wonderful. It was wonderful to hear her voice. And as Molly said, we'll be sure to get those of you connected. If you had that feeling that you want to learn more about Dharma after you felt her vocal presence around all of us, we'll make sure to get you connected. But we will definitely have her on the show this year. So we had a chance to talk about the book periodically on the show, you know, reading verses, but you today, the digital book exists. Like it has a cover. It has the meat and the bones and all of the beauty inside it. And it has a back cover and it exists. How are you feeling with that? What thoughts are whirling through your head?
Well, you know, so I do want to share this story, right? So, and Beth is texting, so she's going to join.
Okay.
I'm just giving her the link. So hopefully she'll join us. She's got her four littles with her.
Ooh, yay. Her four little ladies.
Yes, her four little ladies, which is amazing. So I just want to, just share that. So Beth found an artist. Her name is Tori Elena, and we will drop in the link to the book. And there you go. So Tori is a really, really talented artist, and we will do a collaboration with her so that, you know, if you are inspired by this image of the tree of life, that you can purchase it from her to support a female artist, which would be really important, to us. And, so the tree of life image was something when I was dreaming about this book and what it looked like. I sketched the tree of life out, which is just really deep in symbolism. Mm-hmm. And inside of this tree of life are all of the hidden symbols that relate to the chapters. So Tori was able to take a thought of all of these things and combine them into one linocut. It's a linoleum cutting, and then it's printed into this beautiful work of art that is crazy. So if you do purchase from Tori, it will be a black and white image that it's a screen printing. So, but in this image, there is the bird's nest, the third eye, the moon, you know, the rose, the fruit, all of these things, you know, and if you'll notice that the actual tree itself is a beautiful symbol of woven red threads together, right? Where the branches are as important as the root. And I just, I feel so happy, one, to be able to support a woman artist, two, that we found her, right? Yes. And she speaks the same language. And then finally, you know, to be able to translate it as my book cover.
Well, and what I love is even in the digital, you'll see the back cover, but the physical book, like you can flay it open and the back is a continuous image. So here's the back cover. So you can see the other part of the eye and more of the symbols, the hands, all these beautiful, beautiful symbols. And I think I was sharing it earlier, for those of you who are on the podcast, again, remember pop on over to the video because you can see some of these things that we're looking at, but there are icons as Molly mentioned. And you know, one of the beautiful differences I see in this book than in a lot of other books is this, again, this connection between Molly's yoga practice, the spirituality that's woven into her life into this book, right? And even in the symbols, mm-hmm. right? Even inside the symbols. And this is what I think, this is part of the magic of the book, Molls, is that this is not your typical business book. This ain't yo mama's business book. Well, I should say this isn't your daddy or your grandpa's business book. This would have been your mama's business book had it been around.
If our mothers could have been, outside of a nurse or a teacher or a secretary, right? Like we have so many options as women to be in our fullness and our ripeness. And,
inner ripeness.
Yeah, we are ripe. That's the fruit, right? Yeah. Yeah. And I just think that, we don't have to play by the same rules. We can truly create the whatever rules we'd like to play. We can re-script the playbook so that it is a better aligned with the inclusion of spirit in the conversation, right?
Amen.
And why not? It's time. And so I guess that's kind of where I don't know.
What's interesting is as I was having a conversation with a girlfriend last week about how I remember being, even really into my 30s, where the concept of
Beth is trying to join us, but I'm going to put her up here so you can, when we talk about her, so you can see her. And look what's in her background, Deborah.
The tree of life. Wow, that's beautiful. And I love those little, she must be on her adventure. I see a pool back there.
Yes.
That there is this, there is such a beautiful connection between the story of the book, the story of the humans that have been woven together to create the book, each person who participated in being at your table is there for a reason.
Yes.
And that's such an important, it's intentional, for crying out loud. It's like your book. It's like you're living your book out loud with how this is all rolling. And that even with all of the supply chain hiccups along the way, after the COVID hiccups and the COVID brain hiccups and all of the things that were swirling around it, she's still being birthed on 2/22/22. May not look exactly like you thought. It doesn't matter. She's here.
That's it. Right. And again, like, because she can't join us, we're going to add Beth in. So pretend like Beth is
here. I love it. Hi, Beth.
And she's got that beautiful tree of life behind her. But, you know, so adding Beth into this mix with us, right? The triad of the three of us, like, Beth is the magic maker who, you know, is able to, you know, she took the words and, you know, they turned into a book, right? You know, and she takes ideas and she turns them into visuals, right? And so, you know, it is about understanding and seeing how we each bring something to each other, right? So that we can create. And it required all of us to be able to do it. You know, all of us, right? I mean, like, I was sort of paralyzed with fear, honestly, if I'm honest about the book, it's just like, oh gosh, you know, what if these words just don't connect, or it's too out there with my yogic, you know, my yogic, self. Right. And then, you know, you kind of took over the reins and were, you know, pushed it forward for me when I was sort of pulling back, you know, so I honor that in you, your ability to do, you know, Deborah, I mean, and that's important, right? But we all have these moments where fear or blocks or whatever it is, you know, sit in or step in, and we have our sisterhood to push forward. I mean, this book was something, like I said, I've been studying with Dharma for at least 15 years, you know, thinking about this book, interviewing people about this book, interviewing yogis, interviewing business people. I mean, I have interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people over the course of my tenure, right? Trying to understand, like, what is a soul aligned business? And, you know, I want to do a shout out to Shelley Zavitz. I mean, she's written two books, but she kind of helped me connect with my words again. I mean, she was in a lot of ways a muse for me. you know, where I had not trusted my writer self, but she kind of pulled that out in me, you know, and, you know, to my ex-wife, Stacy, you know, she held down the fort and allowed me to go, you know, write in a cabin so that, and took care of the kids. You know, so even though, you know, and then even to, you know, my new relationship, Jen, you know, she's kind of helped me reconnect to hope, you know, so that I can push through and find, the joy in life again after I had lost it, yeah. You know, but we have these people in our lives, you know, who show up at exactly the right moment, to help us, each of us, right? You know, hopefully it's reciprocal, right? Where we've given and they've given, and that it's shared, right? And that we're not taking more than we are giving. But, you know, there is, it's just important, I think, for me, I feel compelled to do a shout out. And to my mom, you know, who was going through cancer, was my first editor on the book.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And she had just started cancer. So she had been, you know, she has been an editor for a publication for a long time. And when normally she would have been really busy and didn't wouldn't have the time, but she started this right when she got our cancer diagnosis. And so had the time to actually read and sort of gave me the confidence, you know, to trust what I had to say, you know? Mm. And so, yeah, it's just all of these women in my life, right? You know, Heather Elias, who, you know, I was working with intentional marketing, you know, it's just people who have really inspired me. But the triad is you, Deb, Beth, and I, you know, and the three of us, have been absolutely, you know, you've been my heart, and I so honor you for that. And you're also the author of the foreword. So
yes, that was fun. That was fun.
Beautiful.
It was, yeah, I was like, what does one say in a foreword? You know, yeah, like research time. Yeah, I want to focus in on the word intentional for a moment. You've intentionally listed women who are coming to mind. I know there's more.
Yes.
And hopefully those who are listening to this, who were not named, you still know that you are loved and adored and seen and all of the things. You know how it is when you're on camera and you don't have a list. So yeah. we are loved. Yes, exactly. The Oscar moment. However, I think that it's that what I love about the word intentional in this moment is that you were intentional about the humans that you surrounded yourself with and how divine that most of those people, well, everyone that you listed today was someone who has a connection with you, mm-hmm. a spiritual or an energy connection, and that you knew yourself enough to know, I'm going to need more than me in order to bring this to life.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And that is, I want to honor that in you. Right. And to also, when I messaged you, I think we were on the phone. I'm like, should I be worried that there's like nothing going on around X, Y, and Z? And you were like, no, but I should be. I was like, you know, I could have just sat back and gone, let her do her thing. You know, she's going to do what she wants to do. But there was something like poking me, like, no, you pick up the phone and talk to her, pick up the phone and have a conversation, text Beth, right? Like that it's part of being in a sisterhood, part of being in a circle together is also about listening to that whisper that says a sister needs your help. Don't wait to be asked for the help. Reach out and ask, what can I do? What do you need? Here are my skills. Which of these skills may I use for you?
I love that. Well, and I so needed the nudge, right? Like I sort of got this paralysis of fear, right? Because I like to be behind the scenes, you know, and, you know, vulnerably speaking, you know, I have a fear of judgment, right? So I think most high performing women do, right? It's what drives us. It's the imposter syndrome that we struggle with, right? Is not being enough, not being smart enough, not being creative enough, not enough, 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 enough. Mm-hmm. Well, it's enough of the not being enough, right? Like, we have got to just drop that. And I think the Shekinah, you know, coming back full circle, yeah. You know, like it already is.
Yeah.
It exists within.
Yeah.
And we are playing small. So for all those of us out there with that fear, that is actually the fear is what needs to be released, right? It's the creation can be, right?
Yeah. And maybe if I may, it's not even released. It's use the fear. It's embrace the fear. It's use it as your fuel. Right? That the idea of being fearless isn't real. Right? Fear will always find a way in. I mean, some people may have, you know, certain ways to block it, but there's still fear coming at us, right?
Well, because that's the part of being human, right?
That is the part of being human. And the reality is, Molly, people will judge the book.
Yeah.
People are going to judge it. There are going to be people who love it. That's a judgment. There are going to be people who hate it. That's a judgment. There's going to be people who feel milquetoast about it. That's a judgment. They're going to judge how they feel about it. And once we realize other people are going to judge me, it's the reality. It's the, I'm not going to let the good. So I'm not going to let the love impact me on a higher level than the hate. Mm-hmm. It's what they needed. It's their experience. It's not mine. Mm-hmm. You've listened to the still small voice. You've written the book. You've put your heart and soul into it. You've done the interviews, you've done the editing. And now is your opportunity to release the outcome with each reader.
Oh, wow. That is beautiful, because the thing that I look at every single day is always live for others, do for others, think of others, renounce desire for the result of your actions, perform everything as your duty. And then duty uncontaminated by desire leads to inner peacefulness and increased effectiveness. This is the secret art of living a life of real achievement.
Yep. There you go.
Duty uncontaminated by desire.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, this is where if you connect that thread, not a red thread, just a thread back to your childhood, to that moment where you realize, when I do this, my mom and dad are happy and they love me and they give me ice cream and whatever,
yeah,
whatever your reward system was. But when I do this, I get, maybe it's grounded, or, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, you maybe got spanked. Certainly got sent to your room with no dinner or whatever, right? You were in trouble.
The snap of the belt. Yes.
That we create. Oh, the snap, just the snap alone was fear inducing. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. But that's how we were parented, and our parents did the best they could with what they knew in the time. And now we've learned that those kind of actions as children, when we're learning that, we're actually learning these habits of the snap creates the fear, which makes us stop doing something, right? As opposed to the snap being a, is this for my good? Like, will I, in other words, if I keep running and I fly off a cliff to my death, I want someone to snap the belt to wake me up and go, you're gonna die if you do that. Like, the snap of the belt and the fear of the snap of the belt, if I'm going to run off a cliff, is appropriate, but not if it's just because the person who's snapping the belt is like, oh, you might trip on a rock, or geez, you might hurt your knees, or your hips might hurt later, right? If it's for the good of all and the harm of none, then, then I want it to be involved. But if it's because someone else's fear, I don't want that. Mm. Right. I'm not able to step into my power. I'm not able to activate my own sovereignty if I'm letting everyone else's fear create fear inside myself. And so I think that as you keep moving, now you've got a nice bridge, Molly, between the digital book coming out and your beloveds. I mean, you're really launching this into your community, right? Yeah. Like loving on them. And as we teased in the promo, you know, you're going to give some free copies away to those people who are with us today.
Actually, the 22 first people to DM me their email address, I'll send, or you can put your email address if you don't want to put it publicly, just DM us. The first 22 people will get a free copy of the ebook. It's only $3. It's going to be $3 on the website, soon, but just for the sake of today, the first 22 people will get a free copy. Yeah. And the intention is then when the book actually arrives this spring, that we will have a celebration. And we will have it in person. There is a beautiful store that embodies what an intentional business is about. It's called Flourish in Raleigh. It's a friend of a friend's space. It's really cool. Or maybe at the farm here where we can be in the trees.
Or maybe both.
Or maybe both. Yes. But this spring when the book
lighter, longer, like Shekinah.
Yeah. Lighter, longer. When the book is in our hands, we can actually choose a date. But right now the stress of the supply chain, it's just, no need to add that to the mix. Let's celebrate the ebook. And then the intentional ask then is for those of you who are going to be reading this ebook is when that hard copy comes out to leave a review. And that will be, that will be the ask, right? So that we can effectively launch through that system. So
yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. Well, and that allows you to have your moments with the sitting with the judgment, right? Because I think when other people judge us, then we tend to judge ourselves through their filter. And so you have a bit of time between now and when you're in person with people with a physical book to walk that path with yourself, right? To remember it's releasing the outcome of how they experience the book. And one story that comes to mind is when we talked about the Untethered Soul last year.
Yes.
And about how I said, I had a copy of that in my library 15 years ago. The first time I read it, it didn't hit me. Mm. I was like, that was a interesting read, but I wasn't in the place where I could truly receive it, where I could understand truly what the witness seat was. Mm. And I wasn't living in the house that I'm living in now that had the neighborhood that I was walking through when I was listening to the book during a pandemic and my mind was quiet. Mm. And so even the people who may read it and not connect with it today, it will be on their shelf, right? Mm-hmm. And so as creators, as creatrixes who put their ideas, their wisdom, their wildness out there, remember you're following your path and that's what you're to do. You're to birth the book. Mm-hmm. It's everyone else's responsibility to determine if now is the time for them to read it.
Well, and the book was really written it's not a linear book, right? Each section has its own work to be done. It doesn't have to go from cover to cover, right? Yes. It's one of those things that can be picked up, done, a chapter done at a time, because there's guided meditation. There's breath work, and it's really important to remember that too, that, it is meant to be done over time, right? Yes. Because, that's
a great reminder.
That's, yeah, that's the essence of it. It's good.
And I also want to help everyone else kind of vision cast alongside you, because you have, so the digital book's coming out, it's today.
Yep.
You can get your copy today. Make sure, again, you direct message Molly on Facebook. If you are listening on the podcast, do you want to give them an email address for them?
Sure. To send to the they can go to molly@redtailcreative.com. And that is just shoot me a note and we'll send you a copy of the ebook.
Perfect. Yep. We'll make sure to drop that in the show notes and in the chats and all of those things. But as you are walking through the digital book coming out now, you'll have a launch of the physical book when all of those elements fall into a placement. And you also have a vision for a workshop. So for learning, so deeper learning with you. I know that you've talked about maybe doing an e-course. So there's other things to come, right? There's other places where you're going to throw your focus. You're going to laser in on helping those of us who are getting the digital book now and reading it, that there's resources coming as well, right?
That's it. We do. We have a journal that will be a fast follow that will be available this spring again, so that we can get into that hand heart connection actually through writing. But with the great resignation for me and this moment that's happening, it does seem to be critical. Like the world seems to be calling out for something that is more connective, right? People are leaving jobs at record rates because it just doesn't connect anymore, right? There's just something. And I'm hoping one, the book provides the language for it, but that I'm able to use that yogic training, the 500-hour training, to be able to guide people into themselves. Into that cave of the heart, right? Yes. I've done it. I've done the work, and I think that that might be my calling is to help guide people into their own hearts and ask the right questions so that they can get their own answers, really more as a guide than anything else.
I love that. Oh. All right. Well. I've lost track of how long we've been talking. I'm guessing
a day.
That it's time to wrangle us in.
Yes. Let's do our meditation, a quick meditation, as it relates to the Shekinah.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Finding that nice tall spine, like the tree of life, rooting and reaching. Where I set the space between the brows. A mantra, I am light. It's connecting to that energy of being a light. This beautiful Shekinah energy. And the question to ask today is where does my light need to shine? Just allowing whatever shows up in that mental screen, in that knowing, to surface without judgment. Where does my light need to shine? Big breath in together and releasing from the mouth, letting it go. And remembering that we all have a light to shine, right?
Mm, so beautiful. Oh, friend, congratulations. A million congratulations. 2,222,222 congratulations.
Oh, awesome. Let's pull our cards quickly. Oh, this one just popped off the deck. So I'm going to, this one. Ooh. And this is for when we meet with Lucy. Mine is the Starborn.
Ooh, the Starborn. Ooh, look, there's an egg on there.
There's an egg. Yes. And it's cracked. Like it's coming out. Like light comes through the cracks. Starborn.
So we're gonna get this party started. All righty, ready?
Yep.
Lilith.
Ooh. Beautiful. Okay. Lilith and the Starborn.
Lilith and the Starborn.
I also just needed to remember one more person, Gina Rottenberg. Her a shout out.
Yes, yeah. I love it. So, I love it.
Yeah, she's also a divine sister who I cherish. So, but yeah.
I love it.
We got a cool little thing happening here. And
yes, really we do. Cool. We do. And it's coming to life and in its own divine timing, which is beautiful to see. Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for being here live with us. Of course, if you want that copy of the free digital book, make sure you direct message Malls or just drop a me in the comments and we'll reach out to you. That's fine too. If that's easier for you, we'll make sure to get you connected to your copy. And of course, we want to hear what you think about it.
Yes. Gently. Right.
Yes, gently, gently. Okay. So for all of you who've heard us talk about this, next week, we have a special guest. Lucy yep. H. Pierce is with us. We're actually, she's in Ireland. Mm-hmm. So we are recording that conversation this week, actually tomorrow. Very excited about that. So I will make sure to let her know we're going to be talking about Lilith. And one more time, what's the other card called?
Starborn.
The Starborn. And so we're gonna have a conversation with Lucy about those two cards and then Burning Woman. It's in my bag. Cause I of course packed it, Burning Woman. Here's one of the images from the book. Oof,
love it.
Burning Woman. Creatrix and She of the Sea and all of her other amazing books. And of course, Womancraft Publishing, who we are working, partnering with this year to highlight some of the divine female authors that Lucy's company, Womancraft Publishing, has been shining a light on over the years. So we look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Molly, for being brave and for bringing your book to life. I'm absolutely confident it is going to be business changing, life enhancing.
Well, so it is.
So it is. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for spilling the tea with Molly and me today. It was our heart's desire to provide a sacred space to learn and laugh together and to reset our mindsets for the week ahead. We do hope that you enjoyed hearing our thoughts and stories about our favorite people, products, and initiatives, positively serving humanity and sprinkling joy over their slice of the galaxy. Want to connect with us? Head on over to those show notes and click on the links. Let's all confidently step into tomorrow, intentionally leading with divine love, gratitude, and faith. Psst. Hey, if you like the show, we'd love for you to click those stars and leave us a review. And don't keep us a secret. Share us with a friend. We love expanding the circle. Thanks.